Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 Podcast Extra Podcast Edition, because it's the sprint weekend, which means we're giving you even more content this year than ever before, because we're doing our own special little chat about the sprints, because Formula One have made the schedule better in the sense of we have more competitive sessions in the right places, and it means we can do more podcast chatting about things, because I think that sprint, Tommy, if we'd have done this as an overall Saturday chat, it wouldn't have got the attention it deserved.
No, it was really good. I said on the watch along that maybe it's like the two wrongs make a right, that you have a circuit that everyone hates and we've often produces awful racing, and sprints that people don't like, and then you do a sprint at Miami and apparently it was really, really good. I really, really, really enjoyed that. Like, really enjoyed it. And that is the most kind of satisfied watching a race I felt in ages, because it's just like I wanted to see. I've just missed racing, because I know we said it so many times that we love the drama of the sport and there's been so much going on. I've just missed seeing like cars battling and a bit of chaos, and that's exactly what we
got. So what you're actually doing here, Tommy, is thanking personally one man and one man only, which is Kevin Magnussen, because apart from that we were struggling to get any kind of overtakes because it was a massive old DRS train. But before we dive into all of that, because there are plenty of questions about K-Mag, let's start with one from John05. John, should we just have a sprint race at Miami each year and not the main one? So just maybe we just have two sprint races in Miami and we just cut it off at 19 laps, say thank you very much, it's only going to get worse from here, and then we just sort of bank our profits, because I still think tomorrow is going to be interesting as well with the main race, of course qualifying we haven't seen yet, for the main race, that is.
It depends if Magnussen's banned tomorrow or not.
God, I'd love to see how many penalty points he's on at the end of this weekend, but maybe that's what Hass have said, we'll keep you if you just keep deploying yourself every single weekend. But I still have high hopes for tomorrow. I think that Charles was there. How much Max was managing, I think he probably was, just purely because Perez was actually catching up to the front two a little bit. So I'm sure Max did have some in the locker, especially with not having a huge amount of data from only one practice session. Probably just wanted to keep a safe margin. That being said, I don't think we've seen the advantage that Red Bull have had at other tracks. And Charles, of course, learning as he goes as well, with the fact he did about one lap in free practice one. So I am quite hopeful that the race will at least be relatively interesting. I think the sprint might take race of the weekend, though.
Yeah, I think what this did show is that Formula One needs a bit of unpredictability, particularly in qualifying, because the race was made because essentially you had two Hasses where they shouldn't be normally, in where they are, and also Daniel Ricciardo. And even though we saw the drivers struggle to get past Ricciardo, which we'll get into later, it just made the race exciting because you had drivers in different positions and it was like, oh, can he hold on? Whereas if you were watching, replace Ricciardo with like Perez or something, and it's Perez versus Sainz, it wouldn't have that same excitement. But it was just nice to see different cars. Formula B finally got in the mix and it made the racing better, because they were basically hanging on for dear life, and it was that weird thing where actually the fact that it was difficult to pass to a point made it better, because it did allow people to defend, even if they had to defend very extremely in some cases.
Certainly. Yeah, there was a lot of storylines in this sprint, with, of course, Daniel Ricciardo being one of them, but plenty of things that went on. And we'll start from the very beginning, where we had some chaos with Hamilton, Stroll, Alonso and Norris. Lewis Hamilton, that is, without a doubt, the largest dive bomb I've seen him do in over 10 years. That I can't believe how late on the brakes
was, like,
he was.
2007.
That was Hamilton, yes, you know, like, yeah, when he was crashing a lot at the beginning of his career in McLaren. Like that, it was that kind of vibe where he just sent it. He came over the team radio relatively sheepishly and said, "Well, I saw a gap." I can know for a fact he was thinking he was going to get a penalty because he sent it. He made contact with one of the Aston Martins, which I think was Alonso, and it then. It wasn't the only reason for the carnage, because there was also Lance Stroll having zero driver awareness of the cars around him. But Hamilton definitely didn't help things with that send down the inside from 12th.
Yeah, the Aston Martins actually collided, like you say, at the start, which if you watch the replay back, it is Lance Stroll doing what he has done quite a few times in his career, where he thinks everyone around him is a ghost car and he just turns into the apex, regardless of if anyone's on his inside or not. And he did that with his own teammate Alonso, which caused an initial bit of contact. But I think they would probably have got away with it. And obviously Lando would have got away with it. But then Hamilton came, you know, flying down the inside, and it just hit. It was basically like that domino effect where it just like knocked someone slightly wide, someone slightly wider. And then Lando Norris was on the outside of all of them and just got, you know, sent off. It was quite, it was very non-Lewis Hamilton-like, basically.
Question from Floho. Should Lewis Hamilton have been given a penalty for the chaos he caused in turn one? In my opinion, yes. I am utterly shocked that the FIA saw this entire carnage. There was a lot going on. It wasn't just Hamilton that needed to be looked at. We needed to see exactly the picture of what went on. And they took, I want to say, a lap and a half, maybe two laps, to just go, no further action, we're all good. That is the quickest FIA decision I've ever seen. You then fast forward to Hamilton speeding in the pit lane under the safety car. They slept. There was at least 10 laps, I think, until they made a decision about what that was going to be like. So I just found it very bizarre how quickly they just went, lap one, turn one, no problem, cheers, take care, we'll carry on with the rest of the race. It didn't feel right. I feel as though Hamilton did deserve a penalty for that, because it, I know we don't look at what it caused, but he literally hit a car by dive bombing from very far back.
Took two people out of the race. Maybe the stewards needed to make sure that they got their dinner before qualifying or something, and didn't want to be delayed too much after the race. But it's a penalty all day long. And I know they are more lenient towards turn one incidents because there's more cars around. And I don't think it should be a penalty if you have a little bit of a wheel bang at turn one on lap one. But that is not what happened. He dived up the inside far too late and basically caused a massive domino effect, took two cars out of the race. And it is a penalty all day long. You can't use it being lap one, turn one as an excuse here. It is a penalty. When you look at Fernando Alonso and how he got three penalty points for his move on Carlos Sainz in China, how that can occur. And then also, you know, Hamilton, they're just like, you know what? No, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Is wild to me because it's a penalty all day long, in my opinion.
And I saw some people saying on social media that Kevin Magnussen decided to take it into his own hands and deliver the penalty that the FIA didn't give him in turn one for the rest of the sprint, quite something in itself. Next question from P1 Patreon member Daphne. Did K-Mag's performance during the sprint show that we just need more aggressive driving to liven up these races? Hands down, the most entertained I have been in a few races. I think there is no denying there was entertainment there. I will say that K-Mag was very over the top with his driving. I think that it was desperation to try and stay in P8 for that point with the Haas. I think those two can both coexist. You can be entertained, but also be like, oh, K-Mag, that's a little bit over the top, my guy. What I will say is that he was penalised for each and every one of his things that he went for. And I think it's purely because the sprint bred that kind of chaos in that particular position. He didn't have to worry about, I'm on a different strategy, I'm pitting at this time, which is what Formula One has been for quite some time. Cars not battling with each other because they're not in the same race. We didn't get that. It is a 19-lap showdown, and K-Mag did everything he possibly could to try and score a point for Haas and also help his teammate Hülkenberg, who was just ahead of him. I do think it was over the top. I am worried for K-Mag's penalty points and how many he's going to have on his license by the end of this weekend, but it also was very entertaining to watch.
It was incredibly entertaining to watch, but it was over the top. I think the initial things that K-Mag did where Hamilton was, you know, he was being very defensive going into that. I can't remember what turn it is, but after the kind of first long straight, before that kind of stadium section where it's the long right-hander, he defended the inside very strongly there, which I think is fine. And it's nice to see, particularly nowadays when one of my biggest pet peeves in Formula One is when you are so defenseless because of DRS and you don't get to see defensive driving anymore, because defensive driving is an art form of Formula One and should be, and you should have that opportunity to defend your position. It shouldn't just be slam dunk. But where Magnussen took it too far was the cutting over the chicane. And I think where it really took it too far was when he essentially cut the corner on the inside of that long right-hander to essentially get the move back.
Just quickly to add a little bit more context, that K-Mag actually said after the race that Hülkenberg did the exact same thing to break DRS to his own teammate, him, and that's probably, he hasn't said this the rest of it, but I imagine that's now his thinking of, oh, well, if Hülkenberg's done it, then I can get away with it once. And he did not get away with it.
I'm surprised, to be fair, I am surprised how quickly he got a penalty for that, because it's cheeky, and he knows that is going to gain him an advantage. But how many times do we see people go a little bit wide on the runoff area and just stay ahead? They were very quick with that one to give a penalty. Normally, you get away with one. Maybe it was because of all the other defensive driving, and it was very clear after what happened in Saudi that Magnussen was doing exactly the same thing he did in Saudi, where it was basically like, well, Hamilton's going to catch. And also you basically saw, you made a very good point about the sprint, that normally in a race, Magnussen might be like, well, there's points down to 10th. It's the bigger picture. People might still retire. There's pit stops to go. There's all this to go. Whereas it was literally like, no, this is 8th. It's a point. And I said, didn't I say in the watch long, I said, well, at this point, you might as well just either try and stay ahead and get 8th or get disqualified. And he took it a bit too literally, because goodness knows how many penalty points he's going to end up with after that. It would be fascinating to see. Ollie Bearman might be in by the race tomorrow.
Absolutely. Let's get to the next question. I am Peter Pan says, Magnussen knew he couldn't stay in the points, so he drove dirty to protect his teammate. Despite all his penalties, his team benefited overall. What can be done about that? Nothing. We have penalty points in place. We have penalties in place. We have drive-through penalties that I'm sure can be given out if it's a full race distance and Magnussen's being a naughty boy. There isn't anything we need to do here. There's nothing that needs to be actioned. K-Mag cannot do that level of extreme driving without getting penalised and getting those points. 12 penalty points and you get a race ban. So there's nothing more to be put in place, in my opinion. It's fine. It's just that we've had two very extreme versions of K-Mag. One where he was a bit naughty, kind of got away with it, but obviously got a penalty. But this one was like... This one was a lot.
This was I don't care if I'm getting kicked out of the sport here.
Yeah.
It was just do anything I can. And that is why I think this is a fair question, because it's not something we've seen before. Obviously, the one that comes to mind is Perez in Abu Dhabi 2021. Dare I mention that race, but you know,
what
the
happened?
Way he...
Oh, so that was a boring one, wasn't it?
But the way Perez essentially backed Hamilton up in that middle sector was a teammate doing everything he could for the team, for the bigger overall picture. And I've said this before, that while it would throw the whole sport into disrepute, what would the FIA do if, say, in that incident in Abu Dhabi 2021, Perez did decide, you know what, I'm going to straight line the chicane, or I'm going to just take Hamilton out the race, how do they penalise Verstappen? Because it's not him that's done it, but is, and that is a quite an interesting sort of thing that's not really come up in Formula One before, but Haas are giving it a good go at the moment, because this is the second example of it, and it's an even more extreme one, that they can just go, well, actually, we fancy points. So, Magnussen, you're completely sacrificed, cut the corners, do anything you want, you know, ram into Hamilton if you need to make sure he doesn't
come
past.
Which he literally did at one point.
Because at the end of the day, like, Haas, all this and all these penalties and everything he's getting, the winner is Haas, because they got a point with Hülkenberg. And if they'd let him go, Hamilton would have caught Hülkenberg and might have passed him. Sorry, 2 points. Yeah, exactly. So 2 points. So it helped them ultimately in the end. And it is that, it's that fine line of like, is it sporting, I guess?
Well, K-Mag could not give a toss. And I don't think Haas either, to be honest with you. I think that
they're miles ahead now. Like, 7 points is massive.
Exactly. They're trying to get points where they can. I think that obviously if K-Mag's actions in this race had turned into a big crash, I think we would be having more of a stern conversation, but we didn't. That's an ifs, buts and maybes sort of conversation. But it's definitely caught a lot of our attention, that is for sure.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This episode is sponsored by Tennis Channel Plus. Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May the 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus. Next question, here for some fun. Do you think Daniel Ricciardo deserves more eyes on him now after being able to hold a Ferrari behind him for 15 to 16 laps? Here it is! The Daniel Ricciardo love is back after... what, a few races of, oh, he's finished,
slander,
go
yeah.
to the retirement home. And what was I saying? Let's not be knee-jerk about this. Let's just wait and see how it pans out. If he continues on this trend, obviously we can start to question it. But no, he has a chassis change, whether it's the actual chassis, whether it's a placebo effect, whether it's something else, whatever it is, Daniel Ricciardo has had one of the drives of his life today. Fourth place in a sprint in an RB is utterly sensational. And... look, this is the beauty of Formula One. We don't have the answers to why sometimes drivers are slower or sometimes when they're quick. It's not as easy as what we see sometimes. And we thought DR was done, kind of. Social media did, at least. Now, oh, is he going to have some more eyes on him now? Is he backed? Is Red Bull, what are we saying for this? Is he back in the running? It's crazy how sport can change so quickly. And Charles even said... when he was being interviewed by Lawrence Barreto, that you're only as good as your last race in Formula One, which
so
is not
true.
Fair by any stretch, but that is the way it works.
It is true. Like, that is how Formula One works. We've seen it so much.
That's how F1 fans.
That is how F1 fans. F1
teams don't
work
that way. That's the difference.
No, exactly. They can see the bigger picture because at the end of the day, if Daniel Ricciardo makes a mistake later in qualifying and gets knocked out in the first part of qualifying, it's always washed again. Like the sport moves so quickly and opinion on it moves so quickly. It's crazy, but it was a brilliant drive. I am amazed that he managed to hold on to P4. Never would have thought it, even when the two Aston Martins and Norris tumbled down the order and were essentially like out of the running completely. I thought, well, Danny Ric is on for points here, definitely, but he's not going to keep fourth. Surely Sainz is going to get him. Piastri will get him because we've seen how much slower Formula B is, but he managed to hold on. It was really close at the end. And it was just an amazing, amazing drive. Just a really well-deserved drive. It's going to be fascinating now to see what he can do, because we've got another qualifying session and see if he can bag even more points in the main race, because that's where the big points are. It almost seems unfair that, what would that have been, 5 points?
Yeah, he scored 5, would have been 12. Yeah, no, yeah, 12, yeah.
Yeah, 5 points for finishing P4 in an RB doesn't seem like it's enough, but
it's
that is
a solid,
the
chunky
the
amount.
Works.
Yeah, okay, let's not it get is. Into that. That's a whole other discussion. And I think that pretty much summarizes what's happened in the sprint. Is there anything else, Tommy, that you want to throw into maybe some final thoughts?
My final thoughts are just that was really, really good fun. I can't believe how much I enjoyed a race at Miami.
Why don't you
I know what you're going
to
say.
To the people that didn't enjoy that sprint, what do you have to say to that, Tommy?
Open the lid of your dustbin and go sit in it. because...
what? Wow.
Yeah. If you didn't enjoy that, you're watching the wrong sport, because it's never, you're never going to get the... Of course, we didn't have the battle for the lead that we're all craving and stuff. But there was so much entertainment throughout the race. There was a lot of action. There were so many talking points, wheel-to-wheel battles right to the end. To cut to the end and see like Sainz right on the bumper of Daniel Ricciardo. That is the racing. I want to see close racing more than anything, more than all this drama, which we say we love and we do love about going on in silly season and all this other stuff. At the end of the day, I'm a Formula One fan because I want to watch cars race closely. And that's exactly what we got. So thank you, Kevin Magnussen, for being a bit of a beep.
Certainly. Well, what a beautiful final thoughts that was. Shout out to Oscar Piastri for scoring some points as well, I will say, and for Logan Sargeant for finishing 10th, but it was a sprint. So that's...
Getting for him. Probably his best performance. Might even be his best performance.
Yeah, he beat Alex Albon in a race. Don't know when that last happened. So let's see what he does in qualifying later today. And Aston Martin will definitely be hoping for a better result than what they managed in the sprint. Mm. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you. Well, we're going to be doing a podcast later for the main quali and then the race tomorrow and all sorts of stuff.
There's
so
another race.
Hell yeah. We'll see you soon. Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.